How would you like to be happy, healthy, and whole? Victor Dadash will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Victor is he's a certified naturopathic practitioner, a certified holistic health coach, and a health, wellness, and nutrition expert. He's a certified trainer in the success principles and in the Canfield methodology by Jack Canfield. And he's the author of the book, How to Be Happy, Healthy, and Whole. And that's why I'm very excited to hear about how someone can be happy, healthy, and whole, especially if they have previous trauma, which tends to be most of us. Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Lily. Well, the blueprint is you start out by doing the things that try to make you healthy. And I think a lot of people want to be healthy, but I think they have been given wrong information. So sometimes they don't do the things that they need to do to be happy, healthy, and also. Number one, you got to take care of your health. You got to eat the proper food. You got to exercise, get enough sleep. You need to supplement because you can't get all the various necessary nutrients your body needs without supplementing. It's just impossible nowadays. You need to lower the stress. Too many people are stressed out for a whole bunch of reasons. So you got to learn how to relax. Maybe do something like meditation or just find a way just to relax your mind more. Being relaxed is easier. Maybe commune with nature more. Pray more. Have an attitude of gratitude. The more grateful you are, the less stressed you'll be, the less frustrated you'll be. So I think if you do some of those things, among other things, you're much more likely to be happy, healthy, and whole.
Thank you. How did you start becoming interested in being happy, healthy, and whole? Was it because you've always been happy, healthy, and whole? Or was it because you had a moment where you were not so happy and were not so healthy and you didn't feel so whole and you had some sort of awakening moment that kind of led to now you teaching thousands of people about this?
Yeah, I think it was a gradual process. I think when I was growing up, I was frustrated and bitter at times. So I was just frustrated with a bunch of things. And I realized part of the issue was if you hold grudges, if you hold a lot of resentments, it just really eats at you. It really affects your health. You get stressed out too much. And I realized it was affecting me. And I realized when I would be bitter or resentful at other people, I realized it wasn't affecting the other person. I was letting them live rent-free in my mind. So it was affecting me. So I realized, hey, I got to stop doing this. And I noticed as I stopped being less resentful and bitter toward other people, my health started feeling better. I started feeling better about myself, and I felt my immune system was improving. But overall, my overall sense of well-being was improving because of that. So I noticed I can't worry about certain things I have no control over. Let go of certain things. Try not to hold the resentment. That'll make you feel. And the thing is, it's going to lower your stress. Stress is one of the biggest issues people have. It affects your immune system, your sense of well-being. And also, I became more involved in my church, so I realized praying helps a lot. You know, people who pray a lot tend to be healthier, and statistics bear this out. They tend to respond to diseases better. So I think it also had a big effect as to how I feel about myself. And I really, and my sense of well-being was definitely improved. I felt a lot better about myself as a result of that. And learning to have some more gratitude definitely helped. You can always find some things, no matter how tough life is, and you find things you're grateful for every single day, it'll make a difference in how you feel. And then I just started reading about learning how to be healthy. I realized I was doing things that was not making me healthy. So I started changing how I eat. I started supplementing. So I started all doing those things little by little. And over the course of years, it's definitely improved my health, my sense of well-being, and I'm happier and healthier and more whole as a result.
Thank you. What are the top things keeping people from being healthy?
What are the top things? I think, number one, poor diet. People eating a lot of junk food, a lot of ultra-processed foods. And if you do that, it's going to increase your risk of getting all kinds of chronic diseases, including cancer. And if you go into the supermarket, it's loaded with tons of ultra-processed foods, foods high in sugars, foods high in seed oils, foods high in a lot of ingredients you can't even pronounce that are made in the laboratory to make you addicted to make you want to eat more of that, but that are really bad for your health. So if you can't pronounce the ingredient, you probably shouldn't eat it. So eating a lot of bad foods, and the fact many people are nutrient deficient because it's not in the soil like it was 100 years ago. So if you're nutrient in various minerals and vitamins, you are susceptible to a whole bunch of diseases. So those are two of the biggies.
Thank you. Was there any moment in your life where you discovered you were deficient in certain minerals or certain vitamins or other nutrients that were keeping you from being happy and healthy and whole? And how did you discover that? What kind of tests would someone need to kind of go through to understand how to become healthier?
Well, I first started reading some books that made me realize that we were not getting all the nutrition we need. And too often people are being told just to take medication. The problem with medications is, number one, they don't get rid of this. They don't get rid of your issues. They just suppress the symptoms. They also have a lot of bad side effects. And actually, they drain you of a lot of nutrients, of a lot of various minerals, for example, that are important, like CoQ10 or magnesium. So I started realizing that I was deficient in a lot of things. And one way to tell is if you have a lot of problems with your teeth, like if you have a lot of pain, you have a lot of cavities, root canals, and I had those years ago, that's usually a sign that you're probably deficient in nutrients. The sign of your teeth is very often a sign of your overall health. So once I started supplementing, guess what? I've not had a root canal probably in 18 years. I've not had pain or anything or cavities with my teeth. So it's because of that. Now, what you can do, when I work with clients, I have them fill out a health evaluation to see where they stand. And they can look at their score. There are four areas we focus on: blood sugar levels, digestion, your gut health, hard tissue, like your bones, for example, soft tissue, like your organs, like your eyes, your kidneys, your heart. So we look at those four levels, and you could tell whether you're doing good in one area or you're very deficient in a certain area. If they're very deficient, then we tell them you're probably deficient in these vitamins or minerals. So the test is very accurate. We could tell you what they're doing well in and what they're deficient in. So that's one way of doing it. There are tests out there you can do. You fill it out and it gives you the results, and then you know where you need to, how to proceed.
Thank you. My mother-in-law and my previous mother-in-law, she at some point s looked like she was crazy. Like she had some sort of condition that was making her act really, really weird. And to the point that my previous boyfriend thought that she had some sort of dementia or Alzheimer's, some weird condition, right? And what happened is that he managed to take her to Spain to like a special retreat. And what they did is they literally like rebalanced her nutrients, and because she was probably not eating very well. And within 1 month, she was fully recovered. She was like a completely new person, like a perfectly normal person. And we were shocked of this like massive transformation. And it turns out that she had had some blood transfusions and that had imbalanced her. And she had some nutrients that perhaps she was not taking. And it was as simple as that. And I was like so shocked. And I'm wondering, like, what are the top supplements that you think most people are missing that they really need? Like, I don't know, magnesium or vitamin D, or I don't know, what kind of supplements or multivitamins do you generally feel most people are deficient in?
Well, definitely magnesium is a huge one, and it may possibly be the most important mineral for your body. It's involved in probably up to 600 actions in your body. So a lot of people deficient. It used to be in the water systems of much of the United States and other parts of the world, but it's not in a lot of the water systems. So you're deficient in it, and there's one reason why you don't get it anymore. Also, it's not put in a lot of ultra processed foods. You're going to see almost no magnesium anywhere. So that's one of the reasons why you have those issues. Now you talk about the acting crazy. One thing that helps you with your brain health is vitamin B1. A lot of people are deficient in it because it processes sugar, and you have way too much sugar, it's going to affect your health. So some people who have like crazy or psychotic behavior, sometimes you give them enough B1, a lot of times it takes care of the behavior. And if people are having like dementia or Alzheimer's symptoms, a lot of reasons is because, again, high sugar, high seed oil levels. And also statin drugs to get rid of the cholesterol in your brain. People don't realize that a big chunk of your brain is cholesterol. So if you have too low cholesterol, it's going to make you more susceptible to those diseases. And ever since age two, statins in the late 1980s, guess what? The rates of dementia and Alzheimer's has gone up. You need cholesterol. It's important for so many different functions. It's needed for your brain health. It's needed to make vitamin D. It's needed to make estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So there'd be no human race without cholesterol. So it's needed a whole bunch of function in your body. You do not want to be low in cholesterol. In fact, people who have higher levels of cholesterol live longer than people who have very low levels of cholesterol. So other things people are deficient in, a lot of people don't get enough vitamin D. A lot of people are deficient in calcium. Selenium is also very, and calcium is if you're deficient in calcium, you're susceptible to up to 150 diseases in your body. A lot of people deficient in potassium, very important for your heart health, for your blood pressure health. A lot of people are deficient in selenium, also important for heart health, also important for brain health, important for thyroid health. Works as an anti-cancer agent. So those are some of the big ones people are deficient. A lot of people deficient in vitamin C. And if you don't get it, you're more susceptible to scurvy. So I think those are some of the big ones. Vitamin E is something people can use more of. It's good for the heart health. It helps thin the blood. So I think those are some of the ones. And there's a lot of trace minerals people are deficient in. You need 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 essential fatty acids. And a lot of people are deficient in essential fatty acids, especially the omega-3 fatty acids, which is very important for your brain health, for your heart health, and helps stem the blood. And it's important for the development of babies' brains. And a lot of people are deficient. A lot of people have too much omega-6s, which you need some of. But if you have too much omega-6s and not enough omega-3s, that leads to a whole bunch of health issues as well. So people need a lot more omega-3s in their diet as well.
Thank you. Tell us about the imbalance between omega-3 and omega-6. What kind of conditions can be caused by this imbalance?
It can lead to a whole bunch of chronic diseases, including cancer. And And because the ultra-processed foods have much higher levels of omega-6s, that causes a lot of issues. It's the seed oils. The seed oils have much higher levels of omega-6. You need a little bit of it, and particularly the one that causes the problem in the omega-6, it's what's called linoleic acid. So if you have too much of that and you don't offset it with the omega-3s, that causes issues. It can affect the diabetes, cancer, heart issues. It leads to a whole bunch of different chronic diseases. And right now, a lot of people have ratios of 10 to 1, 15 to 1, 20 to 1, omega-6, omega-3. You don't want it more than 2 to 1, 3 to 1 max.
Tell us about the absorption of minerals and nutrients, and how does having parasites impact that?
Well, if you have a lot of bad bacteria, for example, that can cause issues. If you have bad gut health, that's going to cause a lot of issues. And for a lot of reasons, people have it. A lot of people have been taking antibiotics, which not only kill the good bacteria, which is very important for your health, it kills the good bacteria, which is important for your health, in addition to the bad bacteria. So a lot of times people are devoid of that good bacteria, which you need for your health. 70% of your immune system is in your gut. So if your gut health is poor, your health is going to be poor. So you need to replenish it. In the old days, when the doctor would give you antibiotics, they would give you probiotics as well to offset the fact that the antibiotics was going to kill the good bacteria. Nowadays, they almost never do that. So you need to take good quality probiotics to replenish your gut health. Ultra-processed foods, you get high levels of sugar, okay, antibiotics. So lots of junk food, seed oils will destroy your gut health. And it can lead to development of parasites. It can lead to something called leaky gut syndrome, which certain openings open up in your gut that leads to these bad things going into your gut. And it also leads to something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. But bacteria, generally, there's very few bacteria in your small intestine. They usually go into the large intestine. But when you have eating all this junk food and ultra-processed foods, it leads to certain bacteria growing in your small intestine, which you don't want, because it leads to a whole bunch of health issues as well.
Tell us about the presence of parasites in the brain and what can be done to reduce that, what can be done to reduce the impact on people's likelihood to get like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or some other neurodegenerative conditions.
Again, a lot of it is supplementing all the various supplements. It's very important, those various minerals I mentioned before. Make sure you keep enough cholesterol in the brain, very important. So if you do that, you have the selenium and all those other things, are going to make a big difference. You also have to get rid of the junk food. Alzheimer's disease is very often known nowadays as type 3 diabetes. You have lots of sugar. Sugar affects it very badly, has a bad effect on your brain. Also, the seed oils would affect your brain negatively. Stuff like gluten from modern wheat can affect your brain. So all those things can have a long-term will have a large effect that can cause issues with the brain. So a lot of it is just you are what you eat. And if you're eating a lot of ultra-processed junk food, it's going to affect your brain health. So you need to supplement, you got to eat well. And you got to get enough sleep. People don't realize that sleep is very important for your health. And it's important for children when they're growing. It's important for them for doing well in school. They've done studies of twins. Like one twin gets a normal amount of sleep. The other twin gets like 2 hours less, and the twin that gets less, like the identical twin that gets less sleep, does not do as well in school. So it's important for your brain development as well. So it's important for your overall health. It helps prevent a bunch of different diseases. Again, lowering the stress will have an effect too. You do all those things, you're going to have better brain health. Like I mentioned, vitamin B1, very important. It prevents a lot of brain issues, and people are deficient because they're eating high levels of sugar, and you need the B1 thiamine to process the sugar. So you need to make sure you're limiting the sugar and getting enough vitamin B1. And the B complex vitamins overall just helps so much with your brain health, in addition to your heart health and other things.
Thank you. Tell us about the impact of a good diet to create more happiness.
Yeah. Well, a good diet with everything else is going to help with your gut health. And people don't realize that in addition to being 70% of your immune system, 90% of the serotonin is mainly your gut. So the psychiatrists for the last 70 years have been focusing on the wrong part of the body for depression. They've been focusing on the brain, which is 10 to 20% of where the serotonin is made. You got to focus on your gut health. Very often, if you take care of your gut health, you're probably going to have less depression. You're going to be happier. Vitamin D is going to help. Magnesium is going to help with depression. So you eat good quality foods. You get the supplements in there. You take care of your gut, you're much more likely to be happier. You're less likely to suffer from depression. And also 50% of your dopamine, which is what's used for your reward center in the brain, is also made in your gut. So if you're having major gut issues, which millions and millions of people like in the United States are having, take care, fix the gut, and you're probably going to see yourself feeling better.
Thank you. When I was in London for the last 20 years, what I noticed is gradually I became very depressed. And I'm not sure if it was the weather, if it was poor diet, if it was a combination of a lot of different things. But for example, from April 2024, I have been traveling around the world. And what I've noticed is I'm getting a lot more sun, I'm swimming. I can't say that I have necessarily a better diet, but I am drinking less coffee. And I'm feeling so much better, so much healthier, so much more, you know, glowy. And I'm wondering whether there's anything you recommend for people that perhaps are living in an environment like London that tends to not have a lot of sun, that is very rainy, that is very cold, where also people are maybe a little bit less friendly. I don't know. Is there anything you recommend for people to be happy in an environment like that?
Yeah, that can be tough when you're not in the sun a lot, because you notice when you're in the sun, you feel better because you're getting the vitamin D. Spending time in nature will definitely help you feel better. So if you're in an area like London, which very foggy a lot of times, doesn't have a lot of sun, if you can spend time in nature, that's good. You can probably get some sort of sun lamps that are natural, not like that stuff you get in the tanning salons, which can be a little dangerous at times, but you can get these sun lamps that you can use on your computer. For those of you who have Amazon, you can get it on Amazon, and other sellers, I'm sure, will sell it as well. So try having that, and that probably can help mimic some of the sun as well. But I would just say supplement with vitamin D, supplement with magnesium. Those things will help your mood feel better as well. But those are some of the things I would try to recommend. And, of course, do things like meditation, relaxing, doing retreats, just getting some time to yourself. I think a lot of people don't do that. They don't find time to relax. The religions, the great religions of the world, all have Sabbath days. There's a reason why you're supposed to have that day off. It's just spend time with God, but also a day off for you just to relax. If you're working 24/7, 7 days a week, your body's going to break down.
Thank you. Tell us, what do you mean by how to be whole? What exactly do you mean by how to be whole? And does it involve including some herbs into your diet, or does it include something else?
You can include herbs as well. They're not totally necessary. It's really what I mentioned before, the 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and to essential fatty acids, but you can include a lot of herbs that are healthy as well. But it's like, I'm what's called a holistic health coach. And when we use the word holistic, we use the W there because we're looking at the whole person. Very often you go to a doctor, a lot of them sometimes are special. They'll look at one part. They'll look at your heart. They'll look at your kidney. They only focus on one part of your body. And we believe everything is involved. The physical, the mental, the spiritual, psychological, everything is involved, and that makes up your entire health. You know, if you have a bad spiritual health, that can affect it. If you have bad mental health, that can affect it. If you have bad physical health, all those things work together, but also all the parts of the body work together. So we try to look at the whole person as a whole. So if you get all those things working for you right, then you're going to be totally whole. So unfortunately, people only tend to look at one part of the body, one part of the person. If you look at a lot of Eastern medicine, they focus on the very often on the entire person. I think that's something Western medicine should be doing more. But because everything's so specialized, we just focus on a particular part and we ignore the rest of the body. But very often, everything's interconnected.
Thank you. Tell us about the impact of emotions and anger, for example, on poisoning our body, and how can someone heal from that?
Yeah, well, you get angry, you get, like I was telling me earlier, I was bitter, resentful. It's like holding resentment. It's like, I'm sure you've heard the saying, is like drinking poison, hoping they will kill the other person. You're only affecting yourself. It affects your health in a very negative way. So you got to let go of the anger. I mean, there's righteous anger. Sometimes something's really bad done. You have a right to, you see some injustice done. Yeah, you do have a right to that anger. But a lot of anger is very bad for you. Anger is just one letter away from D, danger. So it can be very dangerous if you let your anger get the best. It definitely affects you. It's like with stress. It adds to your stress. And the more your stress goes up, though, the weaker your immune system becomes and the more susceptible you become to diseases and ill health. So you got to let go of the anger. You got to let go of the bitterness and try to get rid of the sadness, anger. That's why I think very often religion will help with a lot of people. It you help, you commune with God, and I believe we need Him. And I think having a relationship with Him will help. Being prayerful, having gratitude, you know, gratitude for things definitely helps. If you focus on the things you're grateful for, you realize that life very often is not as bad as you think it is. And surround yourself with people that support you, people that are positive, people that are going to be there for you. I think, and try to limit the amount of time you spend with negative people who are going to drag you down, always complaining, always like knocking you down, not building you up. So I think who you surround yourself with is very important. Jim Rohn said you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So look in your environment. Are these people supporting you, building you up, or are they tearing you down? If they're tearing you down, you need a new group of friends to surround yourself with, because your environment does play a big difference in your health.
Thank you. Tell us about the spiritual practices that you practice that allow you to find strength in your faith.
Yeah. Well, I read the Bible every day. I have friends that are from my church that I talk to, interact with. I do a lot of praying. I do a lot of meditation. And I think, you know, just reading religious works helps. And I think just reading the Bible and just spending time, quiet time with God would help. And you can just spend quiet time in general. I think very often when everything's so noisy, we don't spend time. And so just something like meditation for 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, you're sitting still and you're just not letting everything control you. You're able to control your mind just by taking that 10 to 15 minutes every day. It makes such a huge difference. And in terms of success, many of the most successful people, Tim Ferriss did a survey of the people who were at the top of the profession, and about 90% of them did some sort of morning meditation or mindfulness exercises. So there's a lot of success benefits as well, in addition to the health and spiritual benefits, as you know. So I think meditation is something that's that can be very useful. So you need to spend time alone by yourself. That's why I think going to retreat is good, or just spending some time with in nature. It's incredible how much you relax. And I think in general, people who live in nature very often tend to live longer than people that are in the crowded, hustling, bustling of the city. And I live in New York City, so I know how it can get so stressful. Very often, I'm in a rush, and then I always got to remind myself I need to slow down, because there's always something going on, and you need to slow down sometimes.
Thank you. Tell us some high-frequency, high-vibration activities you participate in that you feel kind of elevate you and how you feel. Because I find when I'm alone, because I'm a very happy, very fun person, I can really entertain myself and I can have a lot of fun, like just by myself. And but I think perhaps a lot of people don't have that, like they don't have that kind of like a fun spirit. Perhaps they need something else to elevate them. And what I've noticed is that every time I'm flicking through and I'm coming across, for example, Christian music, It really like elevates me. Like I feel like, oh my God, I'm pumped to like to electricity. And there's other high frequency activities like dancing. When I come across again like a tune that is like really vibrant, I feel like, oh my God, I am gonna be like so productive. I'm gonna be a productive bunny today. And is there anything that you do, any routines or habits that kind of elevate you and make you feel really great? Because I think when you feel really awesome, that has a positive impact on your health as well.
Well, no, I agree. You feel awesome. You definitely it will positively affect your health. So you mentioned listening to music, Christian music, or other types of music, any music that makes you feel well. It's been known to help people feel better. So I think that's something you can definitely do. If you like music, hey, turn on some music. So I find it helps me feel better too. So that's I agree with you in that activity. You mentioned dancing. Any kind of exercise very often can help you feel better. It'll help increase your energy. So whether it's dancing or other types of exercising, just do it. So. Some people use what's called a rebound or a mini trampoline. They jump up and down on it for like 10 minutes. That helps. So any kind of movement, we were made to move. And very often, unfortunately, the way things are set up, we're often sitting on a chair at the office for like 8 hours a day. So try to move. So walking can definitely help you feel better. Or any kind of, some people find jogging helps them feel better. Or playing sports. So something that gets you moving, gets you active, will very often help you feel better. But I agree, music is definitely one of the best ways to help yourself feel better. So that's what I recommend.
Thank you. What are the top things that keep people in depression?
Again, I think bad gut health will affect it. What they focus on is very often affects them as well. You focus on the negative all the time and just keep you negative. You need to change how you view things. And your negative self-talk. There was a book by Dr. Chad Helmser, says, what you say when you speak to yourself. And very often our self-talk, it's amazing how much of it is very negative, what we say to ourselves. A lot of times it's very subconscious. So watch what you say to yourself. And try not to even say it jokingly, because your subconscious mind, which makes most of your decisions, like 95% of it, take it in as real. So be very careful with your self-talk. You'd be amazed at how much your self-talk sabotages you. So watch your self-talk. Change what you say to yourself. Again, focus on the gratitude. Read positive stuff. Listen to positive stuff. There's a lot of videos you can watch on YouTube that can help you. And again, as I mentioned before, the kind of people that you surround can definitely help pick up your spirits. But again, spend time in the sun. Might be hard if you're in London, but in other parts of the world, get out of the sun. It's going to help you feel better. Commune with nature. And again, but most importantly, fix the gut health, because the gut is very often called the second brain. And very often the gut and the brain talk to each other. So if you can fix your gut health, get that serotonin going again, I think that'll help improve your mood as well. And make sure you get the vitamin B1 and limit the sugar, because the junk food will destroy your gut. It's going to lower your B1, and it can lead to a whole bunch of mental issues.
Thank you. What are the misconceptions people tend to have about health? What are some things that people do thinking are healthy but are actually not? For
Well,
example,
again,
perhaps cutting out fat or something else that you've suggested.
that's absolutely right. Well, you mentioned fat. Most fats are actually okay. It's stuff like the trans fats, the man-made fats that are bad. The regular fats are actually good for you. So, and fats don't make you fat. It's the sugars in the seed oils that make you fat. So that's one misconception. And so the people have been told to cut down on the fat, and yet the obesity rates over the last 50 years have skyrocketed. Why? People are eating less fat, but they're eating more sugar, they're eating more artificial sweeteners, they're eating more seed oils, they're eating a lot more junk, and that's the stuff that's getting you fat. And you see something that's fat-free, guess what? When you get rid of the fat gives it a lot of the taste. Guess what? They replace it with sugar. So a lot of fat-free foods, the main ingredient or the second main ingredient will almost always be sugar, because it's going to give it the taste. People want something that tastes good. You need fat. A lot of people have been told the high-carb, low-fat diet is good. It's actually done a lot of damage, and we've seen the results over the last 60, 70 years. All the chronic rates of diseases skyrocketed by people who use this high-carb, low-fat. Well, high-carb diets are also usually high seed oils. So high-carb, high seed oil, low-fat diets have wreaked havoc on our health over the last 60, 70 years. Increases in diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and many other Alzheimer's. So that's one thing. People have been told eggs are bad because it's high in cholesterol. Eggs are one of the top superfoods out there. It's got tons of different nutrients that your body can use. And in terms of cholesterol, it doesn't raise your blood cholesterol. So you eat as many eggs as possible. And And that's the other thing. Cholesterol, as I mentioned before, is a very important nutrient to lower your cholesterol. You do not want low cholesterol. The Inuit in Alaska have cholesterol levels between 300 and 500 with no heart disease whatsoever because they don't eat that ultra-processed food, that junk food that many of us in the Western world, especially in the United States, eat. So you want cholesterol. It's very important for your body. 60 years ago, high cholesterol was considered 300. Now it's less than 200. No, what changed? Nothing changed. It's just the big pharma wants to sell their statin drugs, which they make billions of dollars off of. So, but they can only do it if they tell you you need to lower your cholesterol. But cholesterol is very important. Cholesterol does not cause the problem. The only time cholesterol is an issue is when it's oxidized. But in general, you want cholesterol. And the other thing it helps with, I forgot to mention before, you need it for your body to make bile as well in your gallbladder. So it's actually extremely important. We've been told salt is bad. You actually need salt. The countries that have higher levels of salt consumption, Japan, South Korea, and France, their longevity rates are higher than in many of the other countries like Latvia, for example, that have lower levels of salt consumption. It's actually important for use in your cells. So you want salt, but you don't want the regular table salt that you buy in the supermarket, which has only iodine. You want the regular salt, whether it's like Celtic sea salt, Himalayan salt, or Redmond sea salt, that has like 60 to 80 minerals. So there's a lot of those trace minerals which we need. So salt is actually good for you. We've been telling this that, and it does not raise your blood pressure. It has a minimal effect on blood pressure. The big issue with blood pressure is probably the various sugars. So people who eat a lot of sugar and high triglyceride levels are more likely to have blood pressure issues. So don't worry about the salt. It could be an issue, for example, only sometimes if you have kidney issues and heart issues, and sometimes the kidney can't get rid of the excess salt. But generally, if your kidney's working well, you can have as much salt as you can, and it's important for your body. And we've also been told that modern wheat is good for you. It's got the fiber. But modern wheat, people don't realize, it has a high glycemic index. Actually, it's higher than regular table sugar. So if you eat wheat bread, it's going to raise your glycemic index more than regular table sugar does. It's been linked to obesity, inflammation, diabetes, and it has issues with the brain health as well because of the carbon, it raises your blood sugar levels as well. So it's been linked to irritable bowel syndrome, huge increase in celiac disease, and that's the modern wheat that came out about 60 years ago. The traditional wheat, which is rarely used now, has much fewer dosages, but mono wheat has a lot of health problems, but we've been told it's been good and healthy. So a lot of people are eating wheat, and wheat is in a lot of products as well. So those are the things I would just say that's caused a lot of issues with people's health. And that's why I say a lot of people want to do the things that's right, but they're doing it wrong because they've been given bad information. So they've been saying eat high carbs, lower the fats. And so you fats are good, get enough fat. The good fats, of course, stay away from the trans fats and the vegetable oil fats, and get enough protein. People are not getting enough protein. It's something very important as you get older. And also for those that are people that are getting older, make sure to do some weight training because your muscles tend to waste away as you get older. Something called sarcopenia. So make sure that you're also doing weight training. But yeah, get enough proteins and good fats and limit the carbs. You know, they're good carbs, for example, like from vegetables. So if you want to get carbs, do that. And the other thing I would just say is you can also get fiber. Fiber is very good, and it does not raise your glycemic index. And in the morning, don't have carbs for your meal. Breakfast is probably one of the worst things you can have. Cereal is one of the worst things you can have for breakfast. I mean, so have something that's high in protein and, you know, and high in good fats. If you're going to have carbs, have it for lunch or dinner, and make sure you have it at the end of the meal, because if you have it at the end of the meal, it will raise your blood sugar levels less than you have it at the beginning of the meal.
Thank you. What's the danger of not having enough protein and eating only carbs?
Again, it leads to a lot of those chronic diseases that I mentioned to you. So protein is needed it's needed to build collagen from the amino. It's needed for all parts of your body, for all parts of your health, for your strength. It's so important. People are not getting enough of it. So you definitely need that. And again, the carbs, too many carbs. Let me put it to you this way. When a farmer wants to fatten his animals, he gives them carbs. He gives them corn and grain. He knows he's going to fatten them up. So the farmers know that. Do you think it's going to be any different with us humans? And people who are obese, the kids that get obese are much more likely to suffer from a whole bunch of different diseases than kids who are not obese as they get older. So there's a lot of health issues linked to obesity. So that's why. So a lot of chronic diseases are linked to it. When we had COVID, the people who were dying the quickest or people who are obese with a lot of multiple conditions. And one is because they were obese. The people that were not as obese were not dying as often as the people that were obese because they could not handle the COVID virus. So you're susceptible to a lot of viruses. When you get sick, you don't recover as quickly. And high carbs and high cereals will definitely have that effect on you. So that's why I said get plenty of proteins. You need that for strength. You need it for your muscles. You need it for your overall health. And get plenty of the good fats as well.
Thank you. What are some naturopathic tinctures or foods that you recommend for people to take in to optimize their health? And the reason I ask you this is, for example, I noticed, you know, taking echinacea tincture really had a positive impact on my health when I suffered from sore throat and cough. And garlic generally had like a good impact as well. And then there were other things that my mom made me eat, which I really disliked, which were turmeric and cinnamon and some other ones that I can't remember right now, but cayenne pepper. And I've heard a lot of good things about them, but I just really disliked eating them, like parsley. So tell us more about these like naturopathic miracles that that can be created with food.
I mean, all those things you mentioned are absolutely right. Turmeric especially, it helps with brain health, helps fight cancer, helps with heart health. So turmeric might be the most important out of all of them. So if you could sprinkle a little bit or just take it as a supplement, I definitely highly recommend it. Cayenne pepper as well has a lot of great health benefits. You mentioned cinnamon, ginger, dandelion can also help. So all these things can help, clove. So there's a lot of these things you can read on and you just add a little bit to your food. A lot of these spices, they have a lot of health benefits. So I definitely recommend you take those things because it's really, really makes a big difference. I think turmeric is probably the one I'm the biggest fan of. But all those things, cinnamon to ginger, ginkgo biloba, all those things help a lot. So again, are they necessary? They're not required nutrients, but they can definitely help your health. So I recommend any of them. So just keep using all those things. Fucoidin is something that's also very good that helps with, it's an anti-cancer fighting agent. So there's a lot of things here people have been using for centuries. And so you can use a lot of those things and it could really help with your health. So is it necessary? Not necessarily, but it does have a lot of help. So any of those things you mentioned and a few of the extra ones I mentioned, you could definitely try and buy some. Essential oils, a lot of different essential oils like frankincense, for example, they can also help with your health. So a lot of people into that, and definitely there's a lot of health benefits. But with essential oils, you got to be careful. Some of them you can take orally. Some of them you have to diffuse in a diffuser because it's too strong. So on the different ones, do your research on them. But essential oils is something people can look into as well.
Thank you. Tell us more about the essential oils. Are there any particular ones that you recommend for different conditions that people have?
Well, again, I'm not an expert on them, but I definitely recommend frankincense. It seems to help with a lot of things. It's very strong. There's lavender, there's orange, there's a lot more on them. But I tell you, I'm not an expert on them. I know some of them. I know other people use them. They use it to a lot of great benefits. And so I definitely think it's something you can look into more because it does seem to have, again, you just have to do your research and limit serving those things. Like some of you have to diffuse, but I'm not an expert on it, but from the people I've talked to, they all say there's a lot of great benefits. And from the reading I've done with it, doesn't seem to be any bad side effects to it. So I definitely say look into it more.
Thank you. Are there any health gadgets that you leverage for your personal health or that you've advised other people to leverage for their personal health? Like, for example, there is this machine that I was using called Bioptron, which is like some sort of LED, like with red light. I think it's called, I'm not sure if it's red light therapy, but it's some sort of light therapy, and it was really good for acne. And I remember when I was younger, there was a therapist that was also using it on like tooth aches and also like inflammation, and even over time it would reduce or almost get rid of acne and would optimize the condition of the skin. Are there any gadgets that you personally use for making yourself happier and healthier?
Yeah, actually, real life therapy is very good. So that might be it. I use it myself. So use it for like 10, 20 minutes a day. It can definitely help. So I definitely recommend real life therapy. Grounding, you can actually get these little machines where you can actually stand on it at home and it'll help with your health. You know, going barefoot on the grass will help a lot. So it's it's kind of grounding. Depending on where you are, if you're like in New York City, you can't do that really during the winter, but you can do that when the weather gets nicer. In other parts of the country, you can do that as well. So those are some of the things I recommend in terms of machines. But I would definitely recommend in general. And there's a lot of machines. There are machines. There's a book by Tony Robbins called Life Force, which he and others, some doctors worked on it. So there's a lot of machines you could read up on. I recommend you take a look at that book. But some of these machines can cost like $25,000, $30,000. Some of them are less expensive. So if you want to take a look at machines, that's something you can do. I focus more overall on diet, health, and supplements and nutrition as a whole. And like I said, I also use a mini rebound or a trampoline. That could definitely get the things going. In terms of acne, one thing you can use is vitamin A and limit the sugars. So it's people that will tend to see more sugars that are more likely to be acne prone, and vitamin A will also help with that as well. So it's good for the skin health, and also collagen B is good for the scalp. Actually, another thing that's also good for your scalp, not necessarily for the acne, but is the essential fatty acids, the omega-3s. Like before when I was deficient in them, my skin would get very dry and cracked during the winter, every single winter. And over the last 6, 7, 8 years, I never had that issue. Also, what's also good for skin health, give you baby type of skin, melatonin. Because babies are high in melatonin. As you get older, you tend to have lower levels of melatonin. And actually, it may be linked also to Alzheimer's disease, because it reduces what's called the luteinizing hormones and other hormones, which women tend to get higher in as they get older. Men don't. So women tend to live longer than men, but a woman that's 88 years old is more likely to have Alzheimer's disease than a man who's 88 years old. So men get it too. So melatonin may also be a factor in preventing Alzheimer's disease, but also give you nice, smoother skin as well if you want to have smoother skin.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you so they can also be happy, healthy, and whole.
Okay, yeah, very simple. If you want to connect me, you can email me at victordedage@victordedage.com, or go to my website, victordedage.com. And if you want a free health evaluation, you can just go to yourfreehealthevaluation.com.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great being.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.